morning. It's definitely a pleasure and an honor to be able to be with you this morning and to have the opportunity to always and enjoy to come back home and to see folks I haven't had the opportunity to see for quite a while and to rekindle those. Am I doing something wrong? All right, good. As long as it's not me, that's all right. I'm always doing something wrong, and I'm always getting yelled at for it from my wife. Just want to make sure we were good this morning. I would be remiss if I did not just express my gratitude for the School of Preaching. The 2 years that we spent at the school were some of the most wonderful years of my life, and yes, probably more wonderful than the birth of my children, but it's been a great experience, and there has been nothing greater than the time that we've had to work in God's kingdom. This morning we are talking about the love for God's Word. A quotation that is in your book begins, it says, "In short, if you were to ask me to recommend the most valuable book in the world, I should fix on the Bible as the most instructive, both to the wise and to the ignorant. If you were to ask me for one affording the most rational and pleasing entertainment to the inquiring mind, I should repeat, it is the Bible. And should you renew the inquiry for the best philosophy or the most interesting history, I should urge you to look into your Bible. I would make it, in short, the Alpha and Omega of knowledge." And of course, we know as Christians that the Bible is so much more than that. That the Bible is God's inspired word that has been breathed out to His creation, that has been breathed out to mankind. And the Bible contains within it the knowledge that we can learn of God and of Jesus Christ, and we can learn of salvation, and we can learn of the malice of sin and the detriment of unbelief. And I think the great Apostle Paul wrote it best about God's word in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And he says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." This word, the word of God, it for Job became the fabric of faith that was interwoven into his being. It was in Job that gave him comfort in his sufferings. It was that thing that nourished him in a time of sorrow, in a time of difficulty in his life. And God's word for Job was not something that was put into a bound book form, but it was what was breathed out from God to Job. It was, just as we sang, God's word was the lamp that directed the feet of Job. It lit the path that he should take. When we examine the pages of Job's life and the things that he went through, I don't think there can be any doubt in our mind that Job had a great love, that Job had a great desire and a passion for the Word of God. And so for the time that we have this morning, I want us to look at some things that the Word of God did for Job, and I believe that the Word of God can do for us. It's been well noted over the last couple days of the tremendous blessings that Job had. But I think it's noteworthy to go over some of these things just very briefly of how blessed Job was. He was blessed with just a wonderful family of 10 children. Blessed with material goods and possessions, great flocks, numerous servants. Job was blessed to be a man of integrity and a man of great character. But Job also suffered greatly with the loss of his children, the loss of his servants, with the loss of his livelihood, a discouraging spouse, a great physical decline, and 3 friends. And if we had friends like that, who needs enemies? Yet in spite of all that, in spite of all that suffering and all that difficulty that Job goes through, he can still declare in Job chapter 23 and verse 10, Job says, he says, but he knows the way that I take. Job has a full confidence that God is aware of what Job is going through. That God is looking down upon Job, and that he knows how much Job has been blessed. And now that Job is going through suffering, God knows the suffering that Job is going through. In verses 8 and 9 of chapter 23, Job expresses this idea that he's looking for God but cannot see God. But even in that, Job has complete confidence that God sees what he's going through and that he is not going through it alone. Job knows that God has a knowledge of him. It reminds me of what David says in the Psalms. Of who is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him. When we think about God, we think about how vast and how big and how strong and how mighty the song that we sing to the children that God is. Then we think about how really insignificant and all that humanity is, how insignificant that we are. Why does God think about us? Why does God care about us? But Job knows that God does care about him, that God does think about him. He says, he knows the way that I take. And Job had full confidence in God that when he had come through the suffering, he would come forth as gold. Even though Job was a little misdirected, a little misguided in the idea of where this suffering was coming from, he believed that the suffering was coming from God. And of course, you know, we have the benefit of knowing chapters 1 and chapter 2 that the suffering that is happening to Job is coming from Satan. But Job didn't understand that. But what he did understand was in verse 10 that he knows the way that I take, and when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job had complete, unwavering confidence that after the testing that God, what he believes that God is putting him through, that once he comes through that, he will become better than what he was. Friends, is suffering fun? Suffering is never fun. And I think the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 12 deals with that. When he talks about the chastening of God, that it's never enjoyable while we're going through it, but it's beneficial. It helps us. And Job recognizes that. That when he comes through it, he'll be better. Just the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation
of Jesus Christ. Job had complete confidence in God's word. The love that he had for God's word gave him confidence that he knew that God knew who he was, that he knew that God was watching over him during these sufferings and this trial that he was enduring at this time. And brethren, we need to have confidence as well. If we love God's word, it can dwell in us and produce confidence in us. We can have confidence of knowing our salvation. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And in verses 14 and 15 in that same chapter, we can also have confidence in knowing as Christians that God hears our prayers, that God is mindful of us. We can have confidence that God knows what we're going through. One of my favorite chapters in the Gospels is Luke chapter 7. A chapter that often reminds me that we are not alone, that we're not trotting on this earth alone, and that God has just left us here to be of our own desires and our own passions. But that God knows our afflictions. He knows what we're going through. In Luke chapter 7, the events that he goes through shows us that, you know, God knows and God cares when we go through illnesses. He knows and he cares when we have doubt in our mind. And he knows and he cares when we have sin in our lives. And I believe that's the very reason why Jesus came to this earth. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, that we can have a high priest that knows what we go through, that suffered, that knows what it's like to have suffering, to have difficulty. And because of that, we can have confidence. Job loved God's word, and that love of his word grew confidence within him. And not only confidence, but obedience. Notice what Job says in verse 11 of chapter 23. He says, "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside." In verse 12, he says, "I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured his words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job had an obedience to God. Job knew the direction that his steps needed to take, and he held to those steps. He held to that way that was laid out before him. His life was a life that was going to be lived, that was pleasing to God, that was obedient to God. And he lived that life, and God commended him on that in chapter 1. That there was no man on earth like Job. Some 140 times in the wisdom literature, we read about a way. And it's this path, this trodden path that has been drawn out for us. It's the path that the obedient of God follow. It's the path that Jesus talks about of the straight and the narrow in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. And it's a path that God has laid out for us, and it's a path that God laid out for Job. And Job was adhering to that path, and he had not swerved from that path. He clung to the words that God gave him. Does that mean Job didn't sin? I don't think so. Job was a man just like we are. Paul reminds us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Job wasn't a perfect man. But I think the life that Job lived was a life of following God. Yes, I'm sure he made mistakes along that path. But he had a great desire to follow God's word, and he was going to be obedient to his word. His piety was seen in chapter 1 in verses 5 and 6 where Job is making sacrifices for the possible sins that his children made. Job wanted to be obedient to God's word.
Job wanted to align himself after the commands of God. And he was going to do that at all costs. Job loved God's word that much that he was going to be obedient to it. Friends, all mankind need to be obedient to God's word. We need to love God's word enough that it compels us to be obedient to it. Because it is the word that shows us the way of salvation. For the Christian, God's word provides us hope through that obedience. If we love God's word, we're going to cling to that word as a life jacket when we're in the midst of the sea and we're drowning in trouble and in suffering. And when we cling to God's word and we have obedience to God's word, it can pull us from that trouble. Several years ago, I worked as a prison guard here in Moundsville. And one evening, there was a fire in the laundry room when I was on a midnight shift. And me and a couple other guys went in to see if there was anybody in that laundry room. And when we walked into the room, we opened the doors, and that just increased the flames that had started from the clothes being caught on fire, from the dryer temperature being messed up. And we went in there, and we tried to put the fire out with extinguishers, and we realized there was nobody else in the room, and the extinguishers weren't working, and we attempted to leave. And when we turned around to try to find the door, guess what? We can't find it. Smoke had completely filled the room. You couldn't see. I had no idea which way we were facing in the room. The fire began to engulf all of the industrial dryers that were there. The fire was getting so hot that even though we were 10 feet, 20 feet away from it, that it was still starting to singe the hairs on our arms. We thought, what was going to happen? But then there was a voice from one that stayed outside the door. And he began yelling at us to come to him. And we listened. We obeyed his voice. And when we did that, his instruction led us out of the door. We knew where the path was, where there was a way out, where there was an escape. And friends, that's what God's word does for us. We are lost in a world of sin, and we need to find a way out of that sin, and God provides that, and we read that in his word, of a way out of this world. But we have to have obedience to that word in order to escape the world of sin and of death. Job loved God's word. That he was going to have confidence because of the word. He was going to be obedient to that word. And Job loved the word so much that he would sacrifice for that word. At the end of verse 12 of Job chapter 23, he says, I have treasured the words of my mouth more than my necessary food. Can you tell I love food? I do. Job loved God's word more than he loved food. He was going to sacrifice everything that he had, everything that he knew, to hold to God's word, to follow God's commands.
What could Job have had? The reason why the suffering came upon Job was because of his closeness to God, was because of his of who he was and the life that he lived. If Job was not a man of God, would Satan have a desire to afflict him? I don't think so. So what life could Job have had if he didn't have a desire to sacrifice for God's word? Job sacrificed for his children for presumed sin. That could have been money in the bank. He could have taken those animals, sold them, made profit. Job could have had a lot more than what he had. Job could have had unknown fame. Job could have had great influence. Job could have had great possessions. Job could have had great wealth if he didn't sacrifice those things for God, to adhere to God's commands, to adhere to his words. He cared for God's words more than the things that he needed. Job could survive without food. He could survive without water. He could survive without friends. He could survive without family. He could survive without material goods. He could survive without the things that comfort us. But one thing that he could not survive without is God's word. It is God's word that sustained him. Food physically sustains us. But for Job, it was God's word that sustained him. It's God's word that sustained Job in the times whenever he prospered, and especially at the times when he suffered. Incidentally, in verse 12, when it talks about that he has not departed from the commandment of his lips, it implies a necessity of divine revelation to Job. There is no statement within the book of Job that any structured law was given to Job as was given to Moses. There is no direct statement that Job received a direct revelation. There is no mention of God speaking directly to Job, save chapters 38 through 41. But for Job to make the statement that he has not departed from the commandment of his lips necessitates a revelation to Job. That God revealed something to Job, commands to Job of how to live, of how to sacrifice. And Job knew these things, and he held to them. Job changed his life, I believe, to not have his wants, but to have God's wants. We need to make our lives as Job is that we sacrifice because of a love for God's word, and we sacrifice the things that we care about in this world so that we make God's commands our own commands. That we make God's desires, God's wants, not our wants, but what God wants. It's not about what David wants. It's not about how David feels. But it's what God wants. It's what God wants us to do that should compel us to do everything that we do. We need to love God's word and treasure. Treasure that word more than anything that this life has to offer. The love that Job had for God's word
gave Job confidence. The love that he had for God's word compelled him to obedience. The love that Job had for God's word compelled him to sacrifice his wants and desires for God's wants and desires. And the love that Job had for God and his word compelled him to speak God's word. It compelled him to testimony. In Job chapter 6 and verse 10, Job says, "Then I would still have comfort. Though in anguish I would exalt, he will not spare." And he says this, he says, "For I have not concealed the words of the Holy One." Again, you know, the same thing that we just looked at in verse 12 of chapter 23, that the necessity of some divine revelation that has been made to Job. But what does Job say about this? It says that he has not concealed the words of the Holy One. The love that Job had for God's word compelled him to evangelize. There was nothing that Job did not speak to others about God. There was nothing that was shut up or hidden from those whom Job would associate. Whenever his three friends came to Job and accused him of things that Job knew that he didn't do, I could only imagine Job's frustration. Because Job knew the life that he lived. He knew the example that he lived. And he knew what he told the people about God and God's commands. That he didn't be quiet about the things that God told him. But he told people about what God had said. Spreading the knowledge of God clearly to others. And then his three friends coming and accusing him of things. And he knew the life he lived, and he knew the words that he spoke. At the beginning of verse 10, he says, "Then I would have comfort. Though in anguish, I would exalt. He would not spare." And that's a connection from what Job was saying from chapter 3, whenever he's deploring his birth and wishing that he hadn't even been born. And that covers over in chapter 6, whenever he just desires that God would crush him, that God would end his physical life. Death for Job would be a pleasure. The suffering that he's going through and the pain that he is enduring, to end that and to die would be a great gain. But I think to end that and to die would be a great gain also, because he has not concealed the words of the Holy One. Job knows that he has freely communicated the words of God to others. And he is going to do that in the face of opposition of his friends that are coming to him. He is not concealed, he is not hidden, he's not destroyed what God has spoken to him. And Job was confident that in his death he knows that he has held nothing back. He has held nothing back for fear of rejection or fear of persecution or fear of losing what he had. And brethren, that's the love that we need to have for God's word, that it compels us to tell people about Christ and to not hold anything back for fear of people who might reject us, or fear of people who might leave the assembly, because of what God's word says. We have a duty and we have a responsibility to speak the words of the Holy One and not hide our faith because of fear. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And I think Paul held to those words. He held to that advice that he gave to Timothy in that his own death. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, where Paul says, I am ready to be poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. And he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul had confidence in that he had spoke the words of God. And he has held nothing back. We need to have that confidence as well. We cannot conceal unpopular verses or difficult verses of the Bible or verses that we have grown indifferent to. But we speak the whole counsel of God. The love that Job had for God's word provided confidence, obedience, and sacrifice, and testimony. And the acronym that I was connecting these things together is COST. There is a cost associated with loving God's word. And I think that's plainly revealed in Jesus, as he says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, that if we have a desire to follow him, that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's the cost associated with loving God's word. Job tolerated great physical and emotional affliction at the hands of Satan. He suffered belittlement from friends. He grieved the death of his children. And in spite of the tragedies which befell Job, one constant remained: his deep passion, his desire and love for God's word. His love for God's word led him to be obedient, led him into a life that was obedient, a God-fearing life that was witnessed by others. His love for God's word caused him to sacrifice through the pains and suffering of loss. His love for God's word compelled Job to share the truth of God with all humanity. However great the pain, however great the sorrow, Job persevered to the end. Job conquered all through the words of the Holy One, for the love that he had for God's word. The great record of Job is a picture perfect pattern of patience and the endurance one can have if their priorities are in the correct place, if their priorities are in God's everlasting word. You know, if we would love God's word as we ought, if we would love God's word as Job did, the issues that we face in the world would be non-existent. If we would love God's word as we should, the issues that we face here in America today would be non-existent. If we would love God's word as we should, the divisions that we face in Christianity, the issues that we face in the Lord's church would be non-existent, because we would hold to that standard of God's word. If we would love God's word as we ought, the issues we face in families would be non-existent. We all have a desire to live first century Christianity in the 21st century. And that ability to do that rests solely on his word. We need to learn it. We need to live it. And we need to love it as Job did. We need to place God's word above everything. And we need to instill in the heart of every man, woman, and child, and every sinner and saint, a love for God's word. And if we would do that, a seed would be planted, increase would be given, and God would provide that.
We each need to have a love for God's word as Job had a love for God's word. Thank you.